Susan Murray joins us for Ngā Kōrero e pāna ki te tai whenua, our rural news. And Susan, has the battle been lost trying to tame a Canterbury River?
Oh, kia ora, Marnie. Well, maybe not just yet. However, a Canterbury farmer who's had the south branch of the Ashburton River redirect through his farm twice in less than 2 months says he may have to accept one day that his farm will be its new course. Rhys Roberts is chief executive of Align Farms. One of his properties borders the river. It broke through a stop bank in a major flood in late May and again 2 weekends ago, ripping out fences, washing away crops and spewing shingle onto paddocks. He says the recent break was surprising because they'd invested about $20,000 in repairs. Mr. Roberts says they may have to change their thinking about stop banks, but at this stage it's worth protecting the 25 hectares of vulnerable land.
Stop banks are great. You can have them big, tall and ugly, but at the end of the day it's what holds them together that counts. So it's going to take time to build up that that matter with planting. So, you know, that's an area that we're focusing on at the moment is what can we be doing as farmers to, you know, help ourselves going forward in regards to investing in plantings.
What about the thought that the river just does take a new course? It happens to be through your farm.
We're going to have to deal with that then, aren't we? We haven't not planned for that, to be fair. You can't stop water. You know, it's come through twice in 2 weeks. There's nothing saying that it won't come through next year once we've invested a significant amount of money to tidy it all up again. So I guess for us, it was a bit of a wake-up call at coming back through again. And it's really probably put our plans on ice to understand the challenges a bit more.
Rhys Roberts says the clean-up is on hold for many Canterbury farmers who have been affected by recent flooding as they're waiting to hear if they're eligible for some of the government's $4 million flood recovery package. A Southland farmer says he's successfully breeding sheep with lower methane emissions than many sheep. Methane production made up just over 44% of the country's emissions when last measured by Stats New Zealand in 2018. Fourth-generation sheep farmer Leon Black says his selectively bred Textra sheep, a mix of Coopworth, Texel and East Frisian genes, are cutting emissions drastically. He says vaccines could be a viable option to reduce emissions, but it will be cheaper for farmers to simply have animals that produce less methane. Mr. Black says ag research has proven methane production in sheep is genetic.
And now it's out, basically it's past the pilot stage, it's now commercial where we can get breeding values that give us an indication of both where we're at and where we can get to. So my selections are pretty much around looking for the same traits I always have, but just adding in another one that has the animals that will have lower methane emissions. So if I have two animals with a similar index, performance type, and one's significantly lower in emissions than the other, and that's where the on-farm trailers and the testing's come about in the last few years, then I'll lean towards that, and the result being my client base will be getting animals that are significantly lower in methane emissions.
Southland farmer Leon Black with sheep. Fonterra's move to correct the way it spells some Māori words on cheese products has drawn flak from the National Māori Authority. The farmer-owned cooperative has applied to the Intellectual Property Office to trademark 14 words, including awa and kōwhai, for the use on its dairy products. Fonterra's Director of Inclusion and Māori Strategy, Tiaki Hunia, says the company has held the trademark on the word kāpiti since 1998, but it's been written without a macron. He says the recent trademark applications have been to correct such mistakes, and they were done so with the guidance of experts in te reo Māori. But the chair of the National Māori Authority, Matthew Tukaki, says he opposes the move and has written to the office and government ministers to raise his concerns.
Quite frankly, a corporation like Fonterra does not have the right to claim ownership or trademarking of Māori words. Te reo Māori is a national language. It's the official language of New Zealand. And quite frankly, I find it absolutely appalling that they've gone about this process really in some sort of dark corner. But in business terms too, even if we accept that they're using an industry category to try and protect their brand names, what in essence will happen is if a small Māori enterprise at the back of Waikuku Mūkau comes up with a fantastic yogurt and they want to call it kōwhai yogurt, all of a sudden, that young startup, that enterprise, that artisan Māori enterprise, might find themselves on the back end of a cease and desist letter from Fonterra saying you can no longer use those words because we own them or we've trademarked them. So I think it's absolutely appalling.
Matthew Dukaki says Fonterra can use the words without trademarking them. Fonterra says it applied for trademarks solely to use the words on the narrow product categories the company operates in and has not sought to trademark the general use of the words. A bid for an English farmer to beat a shearing world record in Cornwall this afternoon has an odd link to New Zealand. Stu Connor will attempt to shear more than 867 lambs in 9 hours, but chief referee Paul Harris will monitor the event via Zoom from his home near Amberley in North Canterbury. It's required for at least one judge not to be from the home country of the shearer, so with COVID travel restrictions, the shearing sector has opted to use Zoom. It's Mr Connor's second attempt at the world record. His last in 2019 fell short by 82 lambs. And finally, the opening up of most of Europe to international tourists should increase demand for New Zealand lamb. AgriHQ's Mel Crode says restaurants will be looking to stock up and prices should also increase.
Imports of New Zealand lamb have outpaced year-ago levels since April, but they are still below average. An overall tight supply of lamb, simply due to the low production in New Zealand this season, paired with the reliable demand we're seeing from China, has limited the availability of lamb into the EU market. The tighter supply and competition between markets to stock up ahead of the reopenings has supported an upward trend in lamb export values since March. Now, that further flexibility in demand from these European markets does create more opportunity for New Zealand exporters, and we're hopeful that it could sustain the upside we're seeing at the farm gate for lamb, particularly at a time when the EU buying is typically weak.
AgriHQ senior analyst Mel Crode. And that's a wrap for us today. Marnie.